Amen. Amen. We thank God for the visitation of His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We know the Spirit dwells in everyone who believes. Amen. But we also know He stops by and stirs us up a little bit every time we're filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for letting us be here. Once again, I want to thank God for all our visitors who are here with us and have traveled from various places to be with us. We have special guests who are here because of the Church of God in Christ Convention. Amen. We have Reverend Brown here with us on the platform. We want to thank God for him and his guests who are with him as well. We welcome you and all other visitors who happen to be here. We have some folks that are here that are members that have come in and have not been in for a while. We thank God for you being here. Amen. We have another brother here, and Brother Johnson's brother-in-law. He was here with us for Iron Man on yesterday. He's back again today. Amen. We thank God for his presence. And even Elisa, my daughter, has a guest that's come in with her. We thank God for you. Amen. So everybody who's here, we just wanted to say, consider yourself welcome.
Yes.
This is the open door of the house of prayer. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And we are blessed to have you here.
Oh, yes.
We pray you enjoying your time of worship here with us.
Model.
Amen. So we're going to just go just a little notch further. We'll have give those visitors opportunity if they'd like to speak before we conclude the service today. Amen. But for today's message, I'd like to call your attention to, if you didn't get a handout, we may have a few still available, but we're going to be looking in Psalms number 32 and also 33, just a couple of verses from the Old Covenant. And also in the New Testament, we're going to take a look at Galatians chapter number 3, a few verses from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. Amen. And you know, we've been studying some things this year, and we're going to talk about that because we're going to bring some summary to some of what we have been studying throughout the year here today, if the Lord permits. Amen. So read with me, if you don't mind, Psalms 32, 1 through 5, and also Psalms 33, 11 and 12. Psalms 32 and 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Psalm 33 and 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Amen. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant scripture. Now for the New Testament scripture, we read from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 6 and following. Let's read. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Amen. We've read the New Testament selected verses. You may be seated in the sanctuary, and may God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. And our topic today will be emulation of the love of Christ Jesus. Emulation of the love of Christ Jesus. Now, for the sake of the visitors and somebody who may not have been here for any reason, or they may be hearing my voice some other way via the internet or however you're hearing me, we've been talking all year with a theme of learning to love like Jesus. Has been our theme since January.
Yes, sir.
We have enjoyed various messages on that topic. We have been challenged to think about how it is that Jesus loves us. We have talked about many different applications of what it means to love like Jesus throughout the whole year. We put light on what it means to love like Jesus. We've been talking about that, have we not?
Amen.
Amen. We've seen, and I'm going to speak for myself now personally, I have learned to be a little better at doing some of those things that Jesus does. I'm not saying I have arrived and I love like Jesus, but I have learned some things that I did not do as well, that I have through prayer and just seeking the face of God and getting some understanding about how Jesus loves you, have done a little better. I've done a little better.
All right.
And so I want to turn the corner now, because we have exhausted 11 months of this year. And we've come now almost to the season where we're about to turn the corner and go into the year 2020 if Jesus tarries.
Lord.
See? And I always say if He tarries, because the next event on God's calendar is the return of Christ. He said when He comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. In other words, nobody will be expecting it. You see? And He's going to show up. God's already put that event on His calendar. Jesus told him that just before He was crucified.
Yes.
Remember that? And the section there in the Bible, John 14, very famous passage. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He's the only one could have told us.
That's right.
The only one been to the Father's house.
Amen.
Started off in the Father's house,
That's
came
right.
down in order to bless us with salvation to pay our sin bill.
Yes.
So He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, we hear that at funerals a lot, but we don't hear it a lot sometimes through the year. And so I want you to know the next event Jesus on God's calendar is the return of Christ.
Amen.
Could happen at any moment.
Any moment.
The ones who are prepared are the ones who are expecting Him.
Amen.
We're looking forward to seeing Him come. We're not the ones going, "Oh Lord, don't come today. I got some issues in my closet I need to clean up." We don't want to be like that. We want to be the ones who say, "Come Lord Jesus, even so. Come Lord Jesus." See, so it requires some preparation. So we've been talking about that. What's the preparation? Think about it. Jesus came to show us the love of the Father. His life was a living illustration of the love of the Father. That's why He told Nicodemus in the most famous Bible verse in the scripture, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him," that's Jesus speaking there, you know that, right? He ain't been to the grave yet. He hadn't been to the cross yet. He's on earth telling Nicodemus, who came, saying, "Teacher, we know You are a teacher come from God, because no man can do the signs that Thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus looked at the prolific works of the Messiah.
Yes.
He heard about the blinded eyes that were open.
Yes,
he heard about Him feeding the 5,000.
Yes, sir.
With 5 loaves and 2 small fish.
Yeah.
He heard about crippled people being told, "Get up, take up your bed and walk."
Yeah.
And he knew nobody can be doing that but God.
Right.
So that's what He came. He came by night, the word says in John 3. He said, "Man, we know You are a teacher come from God."
Yes.
Because nobody can do the stuff You do except God be with it.
Right.
Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Right.
"For that which is born of the flesh is flesh."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
"That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The Greek literally says you must be born from above.
That's right.
God has got to send you down a new birth from heaven.
Yes.
In order for you to understand the things of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Nicodemus didn't get it. Went right over his head. How can a man be born when he's old? He looked at himself. Guess he didn't read about Abraham. 75 when he was called from Ur of the Chaldees. Like, man, Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel? And you don't understand this?
My Lord.
He said, the wind listeth and blows where it will, and you don't know where it came from.
Right.
Neither do you know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
So he's letting you know, we're talking about this in our Holy Spirit class in Sunday school in the morning. We want to compel you to be there for that. Why? Because we need to be born of the Spirit in order to be able to see what God is doing.
Right.
Otherwise, you are completely blind to what's going on in the kingdom. And you will not be able to perfect what God wants you to do, who he wants you to be, how he wants you to be, until you have been born from above. And you don't have to worry, how do I get this birth? Nicodemus came, that's what he wanted to know. I got to get right. Over here with the folks I'm dealing with, they waltzing around and lighting candles and sprinkling water and doing all kinds of stuff. But I haven't seen them raise a man out the grave.
Well,
like you did Lazarus. This what you're doing is real.
Yeah.
It's no joke. So I got to find out, what must I do to be saved? He didn't ask, but he said, I know what you're doing. That stuff you're doing, that's got to be God.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't doing that up there where I'm at. We're dead and walking around doing dead rituals.
Uh-oh.
Killing animals and sprinkling blood and cheating people and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Jesus told him, you have to be born from above.
Yeah.
Why? He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Trust in the Messiah. That's what you should be trusting. Messiah is here with you. He was trying to let him know, the works that I do speak for themselves.
Uh-huh.
Who else can do that but God?
Nobody
see,
but God.
Some of them accuse the devil, gave the devil credit. Oh, you do your works by Beelzebub.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yep.
Gave the devil the credit.
Look at here.
For Jesus' work. Mm. Terrible situation.
Right.
So be careful what you do with the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it.
Yes, sir.
Right. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means the Gentiles, whoever else is not a Jew.
Amen.
So what I want you to see, Jesus came to put on display in the flesh. That's what John 1:14 says, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the only one ever born through a woman by the Father.
Well,
God the Holy Ghost begot a child in Mary, according to the scriptures, of the seed of Abraham, of the seed of David. Paul told these Galatians, that we're going to look at here in the next chapter, he told them when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law. Now let's talk about, why is the law a curse for me and you? The reason is because the Bible says if we break one point in the law, we are guilty of the whole law. In other words, you break one, the book is thrown at you. We always use the illustration around here, right? Take a mirror, or a circular mirror, divide it into 10 pieces, write in all the 10 commandments. Then take a hammer and try to break one of them. What you gonna get? Gonna break them all. So if you break one, you're guilty of the whole law. That's why the Bible says no one can be justified by the law.
No way.
David knew this as he wrote here in the Psalms. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. See that? Transgression means willfully disobeying the law. That's different than sinning and ignorance.
Wow.
Transgression means I know I'm not supposed to lie.
Yep.
Brother Johnson, I'm a millionaire. Well, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You lie. That's willful transgression. I want you to think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I paid $9.95 for this suit. $9,000. No. But that's a willful transgression.
Well,
you know you didn't lie. You just want to impress somebody.
Uh-oh.
See what I'm saying? Or whatever reason it is that you choose to lie. See? And we do that sometimes. We tell a big fat lie and we know it ain't right. Just to make ourselves look some kind of way to somebody who we're trying to impress. But he says, and that's transgression because you know that's wrong. It's different than if I ignorantly do something that I don't know it's wrong.
Yes.
Or haven't been convicted by God, the Holy Spirit, that's wrong. And that's why we must continue to study to show ourselves approved unto God. As workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We want to get the doctrine straight. We want to understand what it means.
Amen.
We want to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
As the manner of some is.
Wow.
See, so we can fill up on the word.
Yeah.
He said he was going to cleanse us by the washing with water by the word.
Yeah.
So if I don't come to take the bath, what happens if I don't go to the bathroom and take a bath for about a month or two?
You're going to stink.
I ain't going to be right. So we need to be washed and cleansed in the word.
Yeah.
David knew it. He said, bless it is he whose transgression is forgiven,
mm-hmm.
whose sin is covered. In other words, God takes it off my account.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, iniquity is different.
Right.
Iniquity is the fact that my soul is broken.
Yes.
It was wrong when I came out the womb.
Yes.
It was wrong when I was conceived.
Right.
David says, in sin did my mother conceive me.
Right.
See, and I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Well.
In other words, she was a sinner too.
Yes.
So was my dad. They did the best they could,
yes.
but I'm still a little twisted here and there.
Yes.
They did the best they could.
Yes.
Well,
they did the best they knew how.
Right.
But I am still a little bent, a little broken. It's in my soul.
Yeah.
But I can't get it out. I got to ask God to forgive me.
Yeah.
See, that's original sin is what theologians call it.
Yes.
David knew it. He says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Yeah. See that? In whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, I got to be for real with God.
Yes.
Right. I'm not in here prancing around with a phony show
right.
and act like I don't have no sin.
Amen.
Or I don't have a problem with my own nature being twisted and fallen.
Mm-hmm.
I confess that my nature is twisted
yes.
and fallen. So God can say, you know, I know that's right and I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
See? So you receive mercy and grace from God when you come right with God.
Mm-hmm.
You're not waltzing around acting like, oh, I got it all together. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pristine and holy. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You need a washing, David.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know how you know? Look at verse 3. When I kept silent, I didn't want to spill it. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. In other words, God convicted me, but I wasn't willing to say I'm not right. So it was burning me up or eating me up on the inside, we might say. See that? But verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. No, God already knew it. You're the one that was holding out. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I told God, yes, I transgress, and yes, I'm born in sin. I agree with you, because that's what it says in your word.
Uh-huh.
I said, I will confess my transgressions
mm-hmm.
unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So he took care of both.
Yeah.
The iniquity and the transgression.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? That's why that first verse is, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven,
mm-hmm.
whose sin is covered.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the deal I want.
Oh, yes.
Somebody come on, what's in your wallet? What's in your spiritual wallet?
Amen.
See, do you have the blood of Jesus to pay your bill? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the psalmist lets us know, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. You know what? This is King David, one of the highest people in Judaism back at that time. The king that was a man after God's own heart.
Yes, he was.
He says in Psalms 33, moving to verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. In other words, since we mentioned this morning, God speaks out of eternity because he loves us. He didn't have to tell us anything. But because he loves us, I've already spoken. I've given you my word. I sealed my book with a curse.
Right.
Told you, don't tamper with my word. Because
mm-hmm.
he said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away
well,
than for one jot or tittle to in any wise fail
mm-hmm.
from what I have said. He said that this is it, that it's going to be here when the heavens and earth are rolled up like a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John tells us in Revelation. He said, I was watching and I saw the heavens and the earth. He saw, first of all, the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. And then he said, and the heavens and earth rolled up like a scroll, and there was no place found for them. That lets you know the word is still there. When the heavens and earth have been rolled up like a scroll. See, God's going to wind it up. John said, and I saw the dead. That lets you know souls are eternal, both small and great. But then he said, he could continue to behold the good news, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband.
Yes, sir.
See, why? Because God is preparing a bride for his son. Those who trust and believe in him will be part of what the scripture calls the bride of Christ.
Oh, yes.
And that's how he cleanses our sin. His son is the only one without sin, the only one perfectly spotless.
That's right.
And he said that when you were married, guess what? Two become one flesh.
That's right.
See that?
Yeah.
So that's how God can take an unclean bride and cleanse her, marry them to his son.
That's right.
And two become one flesh.
One.
So however he is, we is, if you don't mind my bad English.
Yeah,
however he is, we is.
See,
that's bad English, but it works.
It works
theologically. So this is what we want to talk about. Now, how do we get on the topic of emulation of the love of Jesus? If Jesus loves somebody like me, that's a big deal. Because you shouldn't love me. I don't do everything right. I'm not squeaky clean and pristine like you. I got all kinds of issues. So he overlooked whatever was wrong with me.
Yeah.
In order to give me salvation. He rescued me out of my iniquity.
Thank you, Jesus.
And out of my sin.
Yeah.
Because he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to put up with you and clean you up as we go through the process. My relationship with you is going to be cleansing to you. You know why? Because you can't contaminate me. Why? Because I'm God.
Well,
God the Son cannot be contaminated.
Jesus. No way.
Amen. You know why? Because he legally paid my bill.
Yes, he did.
And he paid yours if you trust him.
Amen.
See, you know what? He went to the cross. He let people spit on him. He let them mock him.
Oh,
he let them ridicule him. He shed the blood, which was the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. See, he did. Do you think he would do all of that for no reason?
No way.
The reason is that was the sacrifice that would satisfy God. One of the greatest revelations in the New Testament is the reality that in all of time, since the fall of mankind, God has shown his love toward all people by making a way to be saved from his wrath available by grace, which is the primary fruit of love, grace. See, you know what? If God is gracious to me, guess how I ought to be to somebody else?
All right, now.
I need to be gracious to them. Which we have been considering throughout most of this year for the purpose of learning how to do the same to others as well.
Amen.
That's what we've been thinking about.
Amen.
I think we're doing better, some of us, most of us. If we've been hearing it, we're doing better.
Yes.
You know what? You can't sit under the word and not have it do you better.
That's right.
And make you more righteous.
Amen.
You can't do it. You may not even notice that it's happening.
Right.
But the Spirit of God is working in your life. He's pruning you. He's cutting out some of this and some of that. He's giving you a resistance to this, that, and the other.
Yes, sir.
Because he knows what you're dealing with. Your pastor doesn't. I hear people all the time say, oh, pastor, that message was for me. It's for me, too.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I don't know. I'm just preaching what God gives me to preach. But he knows what to do to prune you, to shape you, to mold you into the man or woman he made you to be. And he knows exactly what words it will take to touch you in the right spot to get you on the right track.
Well,
that's why it says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now Paul going on, look at our illustration again, once again in Galatians 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Didn't say he was righteous. He believed God.
Yes, he did.
You know how God said, get out that country you in. Get out of your father's house. In other words, leave your inheritance, everything you have to look forward to as far as wealth is concerned. Go away from everybody who might try to bless you around some kind of way other than by me. Get away from where you are not trusting in anybody but me. Leave everything you have worked your whole life for.
Look up here.
We got. I wonder wonder what would happen if somebody told Trump, put away all that money you got and trust God. Leave it and go on over to Afghanistan. I don't know what would happen. I'm just putting that out there. But the fact is, the more you have, the more difficult it may be. For you to realize, now God mostly is not doing most of us like that. But that's the illustration that he gives. And it was accounted to Abram for righteousness. Why? Because he started packing up. He said goodbye to everybody and he hit the road, didn't even know where he was going.
Look at him.
Isn't that something?
It is.
Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye, that means all y'all. That's why I like the old King James. That ye means it's plural, but it's for all y'all is what we would have to say. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
Right.
Salvation is by faith.
That's right.
It's Amen. Not by works.
Amen.
Do you believe God? Will you let God lead you? Will you let him guide you? Will you trust him to go where he says go? Will you trust him to stop going where he says don't go?
Mm-hmm.
Will you trust him? You know what? It's a work in progress.
Yes.
God said, I'm not going to instantly zap you into everything. I'm going to be with you from now on.
No.
Even to the end of the world. That's what he said, right?
Wow.
Lo, I am with you.
Yeah.
Always, even to the end of the world.
Yeah.
I will never leave you nor forsake you.
No.
See, so I'm going to be with you to the end. But will you connect with me?
Well,
will you commit yourself to me?
All right.
Will you trust me with all your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Will you lean not to your own understanding?
Yeah.
Will you in all your ways acknowledge me?
Ooh.
So I can direct your path?
Yeah.
See, that's what he wants, a willing heart.
Yeah.
Let me guide you. How am I going to do it? Through my word, through my Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to leave you comfortless, Jesus said. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Right. Look at him.
So that he will be with you always. When you're not in church, God is still preaching to you.
Look at him.
When you're on your job, God is still preaching to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in the marketplace, God is still with you.
Well.
When you go into the casino, God is still with you. Wherever you go, God is with you. See? He's there all the time. I will never leave you nor forsake you. See? I will be with you always. And I'm not saying anything about any of that. I'm just putting that out there. But I want you to understand that Paul goes on to say, let's look at Galatians 3:8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that means Gentiles. That's the word ethnos, where we get the English term ethnic groups. That means other people other than the Jews, who were the chosen people of God. Because you know what? Let's stop a minute. We got to put a pin right there. What kind of person was Abraham? Was he a Jew? No.
Nope.
Why? Because there weren't any Jews.
That's right.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He went to Ur of the Chaldees.
That's right.
Got a Chaldean Gentile.
Yeah.
Told him, get out.
Yep.
I'm going to sanctify people for my own possession.
Look at him.
Jews don't exist yet.
No.
It's going to be Jews after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then 12 tribes that we're going to call y'all Israel. So who was he talking to at first? He was talking to a Gentile.
Yes, sir.
So don't let the Jews get on a high horse. We hope they get saved. We really do. Don't get on a high horse. Why? Because God called a Chaldean Gentile and sanctified him to bring about the people who we call the Jews. So Paul had to go back here because he was one of those Jews who said, oh, the Gentiles will never be right with God. They ain't holy enough. They're too sinful. Then the Holy Ghost said, what about Genesis? Paul, after he got his eyes open on the Damascus Road.
Yes.
Then he could see. Same problem he had was the problem Nicodemus had. We can't see the kingdom of God.
Look at him.
See, so God takes the blinders off. When he takes them off, Paul said, I can see clearly now.
I see.
Brain is See, he's I can see clearly now.
Yes.
Y'all excuse my But the fact is, I can see it now. Let me go back and read that Genesis again. Abraham was a Gentile.
Yes.
My and I.
My.
And I thought, oh, only the Jews are the covenant people of the God.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And they are if they come by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Paul even said, not all Israel is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta watch it. They're saying they're Israel.
Right.
But he who is of faith,
that's it,
is the one who is saved.
Amen.
Born again.
Right.
Amen. So let's look at this here. He goes on to say, the scripture said this. Now he's going to the Bible. Why? Because I'm writing to some Galatians. They've been told they have to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised and believe in Jesus in order to be saved. That's exactly what it is. He came and he says here, verse 10, he goes on to say, so as many as so then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, the Gentile, should be in parentheses. I'm just adding that in, just for your mental notes. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, now he quotes right out of the book of the law, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You don't get a pass. It's rigid. Do them all or you're dead. You're toast.
That's right.
You're cursed.
Amen.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith, quoting from Habakkuk. You see, you must live by faith. Habakkuk had to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us, verse 13, very important, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us.
Model.
For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Deuteronomy 21:22. Read that.
Thank you.
When you get a chance. It says, cursed is everyone that's hanging on the tree. It's written in the book of the law. So Paul goes into the book of the law to show you that Christ was made a curse for us, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. How? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Yes.
That's right.
See? Abraham was saved by faith.
By faith.
He was saved by grace.
Yes.
He was selected by God and he believed God and began to walk with God. He was selected at the age of 75 and walked on to the 100 years with God. Died at the age of 175. In faith, the Bible says he took up his feet into his bed and he welcomed the kingdom from afar off that he never saw. But he knew God will keep his word.
Yes.
See, he knew that. He got 100 years with God walking by faith after the age of 75. So it is an obvious reality that the record shows that salvation has always been by grace alone.
That's right.
And never by human works. Because human works are and have never been flawless. There's always a problem if you're trying to be saved by works.
That's right. Amen.
You know why? Because you got to do it all the time. So except by God the Son, that is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, who is the focal point of God's promises,
amen,
who alone provides righteous satisfaction to the Father.
Amen.
He's the only one that the Father said, with him I am well pleased.
Yes.
See, and the Bible says Christ Jesus is the propitiation for all of our sins.
Yes, he is.
By himself. In other words, he pays the bill in full. If you're trying to skip Jesus, you got a bad problem.
Yeah.
People are doing it now. Y'all, every false and aberrant system of religion in the world tries to skip Jesus. But God says, when you exalt my son, I'm exalted.
Yes.
If you reject my son, you are rejected.
That's it.
Without him, you can't do anything. So the satisfaction required by God the Father for the salvation of any has been provided only by Jesus the Christ, his son, and is available to all who believe in him. And by faith in him alone, nothing else, believers receive the Holy Spirit, who enables believers to emulate the same kind of love toward not only others, but also toward yourself. You got to learn how to love you. Right. Not to mention, you know what, if I don't love me, I'm not going to do so good loving on somebody else. You know, we like to put on a show and put up a phony facade, but we got to be real. When you're in the quietness of your own mind, be real. You know what? I'm going to say this. There's a lot of stuff about me I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You won't hear that much today because we're in the culture where we got to lift you all up and tell you you are all kinds of rosy things. You know what? I got some rosy stuff and some good stuff, some nice stuff, but I'm not perfect.
Some thorns on that road.
I got some issues. See what I'm saying? I'm getting better.
Yes, sir.
Hearing the word is making me better. God has got the surgical knife of his word cutting on some stuff, fixing some stuff, causing me to see the stuff that I couldn't see before. See, he said, I'm never going to stop. I'm going to be pruning you like in John 15. He said, those whom I love in Revelation, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
Yes.
See, don't act like you don't have any work to do.
All right,
just understand, I will never take back the promise that I made to you.
Never.
So emulation, that word, I want to finish with this. We've been talking about imitation. That's one thing. Imitation is when I try to provide something that's not real to replace. Like, in other words, I go get some synthetic vanilla.
Watch out!
Instead of real vanilla. Emulation is when I try to do and do even better or match myself up with the original thing.
All right.
To emulate a thing.
All right.
See, that's better than imitate. Imitate is a surface thing. Emulate is an internal thing. I want to take the inside and get it where my attitude toward doing the right thing is right.
Well,
and nobody can do it but the Holy Spirit. And he loves when he's promised and committed himself to you. If you commit yourself to Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, he commits himself to you and he gives you the ability to emulate Christ. James, you got a lot of instruction you need. You know what? I have to read James from time to time. Because James was a little more point blank on a lot of stuff. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. That's number one. Ask without doubting. See, don't get that imitation and emulation mixed up. As he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, but when you come right.
Yeah.
Come like David did. I'm confessing my sins and my iniquity. When I kept silent, it wasn't working.
Well.
But night and day, your hand was heavy upon me.
Yeah.
See, moisture turned into drought of summer, verse 4. See, dried up on the inside.
Yeah.
See, but when I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity I didn't hide, he says, I confessed my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave me. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I come clean, when you come clean, God says, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know I love you and I haven't changed. This is the beautiful thing. I'm done. God does not change.
No, he does.
What he did for David, he'll do it for you.
That's right.
What he did for Abraham, he'll do it for you.
Yes, he will.
What he did for any of those patriarchs, he'll do it for you.
Yes.
Now, if you keep reading, you find out more. Like, how long was Rahab whoring on the Jericho wall?
Wow.
Who knows?
Wow.
But everybody in town knew.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as the men came, the spies Joshua sent, the king said, hey, Rahab, how was you calling her for? I'm wondering how did you have such a good relationship with her? What's up with you? Who are those men that came to your place? The king. He sent messages. Oh, so you've been, you know, something about Rahab. Interesting. You know what? Rahab was already in the process of repentance. He said, oh, I know I heard about your God. He is God.
Yes, he is.
Just save me and my family when you come.
Well,
but I know God has given you the land.
Yeah.
See what I mean? He didn't make no difference who she was, what she did.
Model.
She even lied, told him when they go, you see that dust down there going over the hill? That's them. Go catch them. There they go. If you leave now, you can catch them.
Yeah.
Send them out. She lied. But she believed God. Didn't make no difference who she was. And her faith was imputed to her for righteousness. Because you believe God.
Well, yes.
You know what? She didn't continue to be like that. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She straightened up her act and got married into the family of Christ.
That's heaven.
She's a great grandparent in there. You read back down the line.
Yes, sir.
See, she got herself together because why? She began to believe God and she walked with him by faith.
True.
Yeah.
She didn't know, hey, these people could turn on me in a minute. They've been my best customers. And now I'm going against them. So she didn't know, but she trusted who? See what I'm saying? You read her right in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew chapter 1.
Yes, she will.
See, she's in there. And anybody can be in there. No matter who you are, if you trust in the Lord, he will save you.
Yes, he will.
He gave his son to pay your bill entirely.
Model.
That's the only way it can be paid.
Only.
Right. You can say he'll put your sin on the master charge.
Well.
All right, man.
Your debts are paid in full.
Yeah.
Your sin debt paid in full. So if you trust him, I'm going to ask you now to pray with me. You never did it before. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come just like we are.
Yes.
However we are, Father, we know we are a mess, but we come because we heard the good news. You gave your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to save us from our sin. You heaped all of our filthiness and transgression upon him as he hung between heaven and earth, the only mediator between God and men. Until he cried out from the cross, it is finished. He has satisfied everything you required in your word, so that whoever comes in his name would not perish. They pierced him through the side in order to make sure they had done the job of putting him to death. But death couldn't hold him. After 3 days and nights, he borrowed a tomb. But he got up, didn't even contaminate the tomb. With all power and authority in his hand, and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He sent out 12, told them to go and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And people here in America are saved right now and all over this globe because of their message, Lord God. And we come today by faith, believing in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you, save us, wash us, cleanse
please.
Us, sanctify us, accept us today, Father. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the whole church here together.
Amen.
And give God a hand of praise.
Hallelujah. Amen.